world will be ready for it.
We'll be ready for it.
We're just not ready.
You know who's also, you know who's also ready for it?
Yeah.
The King.
I should just have that as the new song.
I mean.
Well. Podcast didn't like the fact that we suggested a new song and decided to start there.
All right.
Fuck you and your song.
All right.
Sweet. All right. Yeah, huh? Well, so hello, everybody, and welcome to the Frantic Talks podcast, episode 94. I'm your host, Frantic. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host,
Grunt. Hello, everyone.
We are here to talk about gaming.
And junk.
And junk. So, it was really weird. We might have gone live there for a minute if anyone was waiting around for us. Just, problem was, apparently my computer decided to be a pain in the butt and tell me that, you know...
you need this updated.
Yeah, I need device drivers updated on my graphics card, which is really weird. So, turns out it's still streaming. It was still streaming, and I didn't realize it. I thought it just couldn't start. No, it's not saving the video, so I have to download from Twitch later. But anyways, that aside.
Oh, man. I was like,
go answer your phone.
This is great, because just a few days ago, I was browsing through TimeHop, and we found that episode where the phone rang in the background. It was one of our very first few episodes. That's great.
Alrighty then. That's pretty funny. So, that's funny. Well, today, we're not going to talk about phones. We got a couple of things to talk to you guys about. A couple of brief stories talking about some news related to Far Cry 5, Red Dead Redemption 2, Sony's CEO. And we're also going to talk about two of the biggest topics that we've ever really talked about on the Frantic Talks podcast with Halo and Bungie's Destiny, of course. They're all related in some way or another. They have news coming out around them. We're going to discuss those as the main topic. But first, let's talk about where you can continue the conversation, talk to us, and enjoy all this, the lovely things we like to put out there. First and foremost, I'm at FrannyJ3 on Twitter. He is at, nope, wrong way. You can't see it, but I can. He's at OnyxSpartan, OnyxSpartan, all one word. And we are at Frantic_Talks. You can tweet at us however you would like. Continue the conversation, ask us questions, give us feedback, anything you like. Also, Facebook.com/FranticTalks. Throw a like over there. You'll get a more Facebook form of Twitter. Twitch.tv/FranticTalks. All one word, where I kind of mentioned it already, but you can join us live every Saturday, usually, at 3 p.m. Eastern, usually. We'll go live and you can join in the conversation, get a shout out, correct us if we say something wrong and the like. And also, FranticTalks.com, where you get everything I just mentioned in the footer, along with a couple other links like our Xbox DVRs and some other fun little details, along with all the articles, where Monday you get a podcast, Wednesday you get a weekly column, and Friday you get some sort of Wrestling Friday bit. And then also magic.franticTalks.com for all the magic needs. Like I said, we had some fun stuff to talk about. I'm going to go and get the Frantox website up on screen right. Which one is it? That one. That was going to be really bad if I hit the wrong button. It's just going to be like an infinite like video of the video screen.
That would have
really
bad. That would have been great. That
would have been really funny. There's the Frantox website. Let's talk about the articles there real quick, and then we'll get to our normal question where we pass the torch off to Grunt to figure out what he did this week. But first off, FVF 10, Part 1, Wrestling Fridays, as I already mentioned. We got month 10 of the Frantic vs. Freak Show series, where we take a wrestling simulator, throw in our own roster, it's kind of the same roster, it's a little different 10 months into it now because we're signing different people, and check out how we've been doing. You can let us know who you think wins every week, or every other week, because, you know, that's, once both parts are out, it's who did better that month. We actually only have two more to go after this, at least in terms of months, so I only have two articles left. Freak Show has three, because he's coming up with part one, or part two of month 10 next week. So this will be done here in the next couple weeks, and then we're going to be starting
10.2.
up.
10.2. 10.2.
Yeah, 10.2, or 10.5, because it's the other half. I don't know. We'll be coming out with a new series after FVF is over. We already have it in the works and have been planning some stuff. I will say it's going to be some sort of joint venture, and it will still be related to wrestling, and that's all I'll say. Speaking of joint ventures, the weekly column was a joint venture between me and Freak Show. Where we broke down every entrant into the men's Royal Rumble, including who got who in their lottery roll, which was everyone got assigned a random number between 1 and 30. They had to root for that person. You know, if they got lucky and they won, good for them.
I really would have preferred to switch wrestlers with your number in mind.
Shoot, who did you get?
I got...
Oh, you got Xavier Woods.
Mm-hmm.
and I got Seth Rollins. It was really funny. It was like he shouldn't last it as long as he did, and he did. But interestingly enough, we are not done this Wednesday for the Frantics Antics column, since we already kind of spoiled what we did with that one. We are breaking down the Women's Royal Rumble in a very similar fashion, where we'll mention each one, give reactions, kind of our thoughts when they came out, and all that fun stuff, so you can kind of get a breakdown of what we were thinking when we were watching it. So that'll be my column for this week, and then Grant will have a column next week, and then back to Freak Show, and that's how the schedule goes. And of course, if you missed it, we also had the podcast number 93 of a Royal Rumble panel cast, where Grunt asked us questions about the Royal Rumble, and we answered. And, of course, we gave predictions. Funnily enough, I had the most accurate prediction, and I think I predicted both winners. I don't actually remember. I know who I wanted to win, and it was both of them, but there was some doubt in my mind. And Freak Show was kind of on the same page.
I think your hopeful winner and hopeful winner and actual winner were the same, so
yeah.
The event's actual winner.
Mm-hmm. So you can check that out. There's some good questions in there where we talk about just different stuff related to it if you're more curious about it and wanting to know. But for the most part, that's what's all come out this past week. You can check all that out on frantalks.com, like I said. And with that being said, let's get this kicked off here with the typical question of Grunt. How was your week?
Mostly spent in the sands of Egypt. Again.
Oh, okay. So, like, how much was the ticket to fly over there?
Super expensive.
Yeah, I figured.
Super expensive. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm still there. Again, I just took house and all.
Just, like, lifted it and flew it over there.
Uh-huh, yep,
exactly. That's a lot of money, guys. Lots of money. So much money, he can literally do the impossible in moving a house to Egypt. That's not a mobile home.
Just scared getting it over some of the seas and oceans, but it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it just happens to fall over the ocean, you know.
Had flotation devices ready for that. I was thinking ahead.
Had like just like a raft around it. Like, oh, no, it'll be fine. That wouldn't work, but it would be really funny.
No. But I spent a lot of my game time playing Assassin's Creed Origins, getting back into that, progressing with the story. It's very, I like it. I know I always say this about probably the newest Assassin's Creed game that comes out, but it probably is my favorite. There's aspects I like from like the original game, like the story from the original game. I liked it, the setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not too overly fond of the setting with Origins, but I like how the story is explaining the origin of the Assassin Brotherhood, hence, you know, Origins.
I think that's a good thing that the latest version is always your favorite, because there's a lot of series where you can definitely say, you know, the sequel or the, you know, number two or number three was my favorite, and it just went downhill from there. So you could argue it's just getting progressively better, which is always a good thing, I think, especially in the world of video games.
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I like from the past games, but usually there's a lot more that I like from the most recent game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of like Halo 2 is your favorite game, but yet you like stuff from the others that you've played to where you kind of like them all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, been playing a lot of it lately. There was one fight that I just finished up last night that was really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So without giving away too many spoilers, myself, if you want to have it spoiled, just search on like YouTube or something for the Flavius, Flavius, okay. Fight, and man, that is quite interesting.
Pretty damn good.
Well, it's not a terrible fight, but yet a lot of the mechanics for it are very like quick time events without actually being QTEs.
Okay, I get you.
So it goes back to what combat was basically in the first game. It's just counter, kill, repeat. And gotcha. Some of the other things they throw in there just make it annoying. So, like, enemies disappearing.
Be a proper boss fight, right?
Well, I mean, serious. Disappearing enemies is not a proper boss fight.
I mean, no, it's not. I'm just saying.
Especially when you're currently swinging away at him with a sword, and right before it strikes him, he disappears. And he just reappears behind you and kills you. That's happened several times, and I'm not at all bitter about it.
No, clearly not. Clearly not.
Let's see. Last Sunday night, I believe it was, I played a board game. A real board game, people. And it's Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Yup, Betrayal at House on the Hill. That's an awesome game.
It really is. I love the way that they... It starts off like, you know, kind of a what some might consider a boring game where you're just, you know, basically exploring this house, uncovering rooms and that, collecting items and that. But every time you go into a room that has a certain emblem on the floor, you have to reveal an omen card. After you reveal the omen card, read it, you roll the dice. Mm-hmm. Roll your set of dice. And if your dice roll is, I believe, lower than the amount of omen cards that have been drawn for the game up until then, start your haunt. And then the game changes drastically. Mm-hmm. And someone that's in the party or playing the game becomes the haunt revealer and possibly the traitor. So they basically get like an extra turn on top of their original turn. Mm-hmm. But they're now controlling whatever haunt or enemy or whatever is after you, and it's the job of everyone else in the game to survive. So it's very fun. I like it. It's kind of a learning curve when you first start playing, because there's so much to do, and then the game changes drastically about halfway through.
Yeah, it's not simple by any means, for sure. It's definitely
right.
It's an invested game, and it can take a bit, so... if you're like planning a game night where you want to play this, I wouldn't plan too many other games around it. I would literally just have like a quick warm up game and then this, because
right,
get the juices flowing and then you play this, and there's a lot to it.
Right, I like it. It's a fun game, definitely going to be fun. I think playing in the future.
Yes. And you didn't mention it, but whatever the last omen card that was flipped and who found it, based on those things, typically determines the traitor. That's what makes it kind of cool is it actually reminds me of Cabin in the Woods, because Cabin in the Woods' entire premise is whoever finds a specific item first is how they're going to get killed. So it's kind of similar where it's like, oh, I'm the one who found the the necklace in the kitchen, and now I have a lust for legs and try to eat them off you or something. You know, that's just how it goes. So I couldn't think of anything better. So.
That's amazing.
No, it's a really fun game, though. No, don't get me wrong. My silly metaphors aside, that it's a really, really good game.
I think, if anything, your silly metaphor made me want to play the game even more.
Good. I could be a good salesman.
You know who could use that? Nintendo and the Labo. Cardboard box.
They're fucking cardboard. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. But yeah, so that's pretty much game-wise, that's how my week has been. I spent on end hours in the day researching, you know, more stuff into history and that around the medieval and Crusades time period, stuff like that. Mm. There's a reason behind it. I'm planning on joining a group, both locally and kind of internationally, that is kind of, they have the focus of preserving that history. So,
okay.
And if you've read any of my articles and listened to any of these podcasts, I absolutely love history. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But that's cool that you're getting to even go further into it, not just be like, oh, yeah. I like these things. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I actually get to be a part of living history, essentially, which you are every day, I suppose. But
right, yeah, but that's different in a good way. So
it is. So yeah, that's pretty much how my week has been. Winter is it's not in full force. There's no snow on the ground. It's 43 degrees out, last I had seen.
Oh, it's like 15 here. We're going to get snow tonight.
So it's like
the opposite of what it normally is. You're usually like in the negatives getting snow, and we're just over here like, oh, you know, it's kind of cold. Like,
it's kind of cold.
Got a light jacket on.
Yeah. So winter is here. We'll just say that.
Yeah, that, and no, kind that's, of boring. That's trademarked. Well, winter is coming is trademarked, anyways. But also it being here is it has to get there eventually.
Oh. It's only 6 more weeks of it, according to a groundhog.
Don't even get me started on that groundhog.
All right, well, how was your week then? Not pertaining to a groundhog.
No, my week was, it was a standard week. I was pretty busy after the excitement that was the Royal Rumble. By the way, that weekend of wrestling was, oh my God, we started the year off strong. And I think it actually kind of happens every year where the Royal Rumble weekend has a decent amount of stuff going on, both in the WWE and outside of it and other promotions. I think Ring of Honor and New Japan both had stuff. I don't remember off the top of my head. Freak Show would be able to tell us that. But it was, in terms of the stuff I watched, damn, was it good. So I was, like, really high on it. Like, I want to keep watching. So I watched, you know, Monday and then Tuesday. Wednesday rolled around and I was way too busy. And then Thursday we had someone over and we were playing games. So by the time I had finally cooled off with the wrestling and started to go to focus on things, it was already Friday. So I essentially, when we had a friend over Thursday, we played a bunch of co-op games. We played some Mario Party 4, I think, on, like, the Wii. And then we played Overcooked, and that was entertaining as all get out because we were all kind of drunk, basically, is the best way to put it. I mean, buzz, drunk, same idea. So I think I've talked about Overcooked before, and I just want to mention it again because if you are looking for a really good couch co-op game, this is the game for you. I don't care. I don't even need to describe it to you. I can tell you right now, this is it. The way I describe it, it's going to sound awful. Trust me, it's way better. It's a cooking game, a co-op cooking game, but it's cartoonish and just challenging. And it focuses you to cooperate and talk together, but you can start yelling at each other because someone burned the onion stew or no one's washing dishes or something. It's such a weird sounding premise. And I was not sold on it until we played it. And I was like, oh my God, I need this. And anytime we get together with friends, it's like, let's play Overcooked. So this game is on every platform now. I believe the Switch was the last one to get in. It just recently got it. So if you have a Switch and you want to play it with friends, do it. If you have Steam Link like I do, that's how we play it. You can get on Xbox, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how well that would go online. You could still do it. It'd be easy, but it's really good. I would highly recommend it for anyone looking for a good couch co-op game.
That sounds fun. I just want to know who in their right mind wants onion stew.
Well, that's the first thing they teach is how to make onion soup. I said stew, it's technically soup, whatever, same idea. It's
just okay, onion French soup. Onion soup, I can understand that.
And
it's
then
not bad.
Mushroom soup and tomato soup are the first things you learn.
You know, give me that tomato soup.
And then it gets really complicated towards the end making burritos and fucking pizza and shit. And you gotta like mix 4 different ingredients different ways. And then the stages start moving around and some levels have ice floors where you're running around sliding off the edge and rats that come out and steal your food. It's crazy. It gets all off the top, but... it's pretty good. I quite enjoy it.
Definitely sounds fun.
Yeah. So I'd recommend it. It's actually really cheap, 15 to 20, something like that, typically. So a really cheap game, and I've definitely played it more than I've played some $60 games. So definitely bang for your buck there. And then last night, went and played some Magic. Don't really have much to say in terms of awesome plays. I kind of went on a rant last time we had a Magic thing. We just went to a local shop, played some Commander, played some of our created format that we like basically call 15 card vintage, where we have 15 card decks that are really stupid and they're singleton. We can't come up with a name for it yet. The gameplay is nuts. It's a lot of fun. And then we went to Waffle House. I decided to get a coffee and was up till like 4 or 5 last night. That's why I'm really tired right now, because I got woke up at 11 or 10 or something, so I haven't had much sleep. And that brings us to now. So not much of a ridiculous week in any terms, just lots and lots of wrestling. And then some games.
Iron Banana. Out of Iron Banana, yes. That's something else I've been playing a little bit, too. Out of the Commander that you played last night, I know the answer to this one, because I heard some few stories from it. Which one did the best?
Oh, hands down, it was Azuri. Azuri Rex. Oh, man, he is so good. Azuri, just basically how he works, if you're curious, Azuri Claw of Progress is the card. He basically wants you to play really tiny creatures, but the more you play, the more counters you can put on them, therefore making them large. So you can play a 1-1, and then next turn he's a 9-9. It's essentially how the deck works. And he works really well when someone is making everybody attack, because I'm always going to have larger creatures unless someone's got a crazy engine online. And I just got one of the new cards from the new set that lets you give stuff like double power and give them flying. And that happened. And it ended the game very fast because we're all forced to attack and I'm throwing 2020s at somebody. It's not going to last long.
No.
he did really well. And he always does really well because he just needs a card or two and then it just gets out of hand. And he can recover from it. It's dumb. It's one of my favorites because he just gets so out of hand. So that's what we'll say. He was the best easily, hands down. He almost always will be. All right. With that said, let's talk about some of these articles we have to talk about today. We have, like I said, I think 5 in total, but in reality, we're only really breaking down 2 of them. So let's start with some quick. Headline breaking news kind of deals where we're just gonna give you the quick cliff notes. First up, Sony's
Frantic over to the news desk.
Over to Frantic. Oh, so today in news on February 2nd, we had Michael McWhorter report to us that Sony's Kaz Hirai, hopefully I said that name right, is stepping down as the CEO of Sony. Unfortunately, his role is going to be much more diminished. He's going to back off after having been in the lead of the company since 2012 and inheriting most of the assets in 2011. But he's hoping for a bright future for Sony once they get a new CEO, and that is what's going to happen. Now over to Grunt at the weather station. Grunt, how's it looking out there?
Looks kind of cloudy, actually. Kind of on the warm side. A little breezy. Don't have someone for the traffic report. Sorry.
Now over to, I can't think of a name. Dave Davidson on traffic. Oh, well, we got a red alert out here, sir. We have a crash on I-675, and then we just go full-on radio news right now.
Right. It's too late. There's no coming back from this.
Anyways, if I was speaking too quickly, Sony's CEO has stepped down. He was the CEO since, I think it said 2012, but he inherited a lot of the stuff in, like, 2011, I think is what the article said. He'll be stepping down, but he'll still be chairman, although I think that's not actually right. Did we find out that that was a fake tweet?
All right. So what it is Polygon thought it would be a great idea to say that Kaz is still sticking around, even though his diminished role at Sony from stepping down. But that's not really true. He is stepping down as CEO from Sony, like, Frank just said. Mm-hmm. But the parody Twitter account that exists of him is still staying. So take that as you will, but yeah, he's stepping down, and that's pretty much all you really need to know. Otherwise, there's some great journalism out there. Like, if I keep going, this is going to be not quite to Tillo level. Rants going on here.
We'll get there. So that's that.
Once in a blue moon, a Totilla rant happens. But hey, apparently blue moons are not that rare.
Yeah, it just happened.
Apparently. There's two more this year.
Yeah. No, we can't force a Totilla rant. That wouldn't be right.
No, we can't. You cannot force one.
It just happens naturally.
Unnatural. Uh-huh.
All right, so next up we have Red Dead Redemption 2 got delayed.
So you were going to say it was coming out this year. Well, it is.
It should still be coming out this year. It got delayed till October, though. It was supposed to come out in April. So, 6-month delay. Painful. But, we always say, it hurts when you hear it, but is worth it in the long run, because we get the better product, arguably, because they don't fuck it up. So,
great.
That's good news. Good news all around.
Yeah. It might be better because...
Well, not all around, but,
Well, no. Delays are good for many reasons. It comes down to you put out a product that doesn't work or just barely works, like some game we'll talk about later.
I wonder what that could be.
I don't know. Oh, God. But for the most part, they are better. Then you kind of look at games like Battleborn from Gearbox. It got delayed for whatever reason, and it didn't do too well.
Well,
but
that wasn't of any fault of its own.
No.
Well, I mean, it's you could argue it was because it wasn't as entertaining, but it was really because the next biggest thing to ever come out, Overwatch, came out the same month.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that's an example of where delays can be bad. Because maybe you have a good game that some people, a lot of people really like, but it's being overshadowed by something that is watching over.
Yeah, I'm rather curious to see how it comes out, but at the same time, it's not going to get overshadowed, I imagine, unless the game of the year comes out at that point, and I still don't think it would be.
Right.
What, there's no Western competitor shooter type games like this. There's no competitor to Red Dead. I mean,
the last game I played was a gun. Now that's dead in the water. Literally face down, bucket hat on top.
Yep. All right, so next up,
Whatever. Maybe that cowboy hat is floating down the river. Who knows?
It'd be like really weird if you saw that. Just like, what is that? The cowboy hat, huh?
Hold on. I was wanting a new hat. Why does it have holes? Just pay no mind to that.
I just dive into it. So next up, we have Far Cry 5 DLC, which the game hasn't even come out yet.
No. It comes out in March, the end of March.
But we know some DLC that's going to be added. And
Before we get into what the DLC actually covers, because I want to prove how much of an interesting contrast this will be, the story is, to me, and apparently a Redditor from 8 months ago thought the same thing. Maybe it was me, alternate me.
Could be.
It wasn't. But it wasn't. The events for Far Cry 5 are loosely based around the events of Waco, Texas, which the anniversary for that is coming up here soon, I think, because I've seen a lot of it, a lot about it. So it's interesting to notice that, you know, maybe it's going to have a darker, serious storyline. So how do you counteract that, Frannik?
Well, I'd do it in a couple of ways. But
what would be your most logical way to do it then?
We're trying to make it lighthearted. I'd add probably zombies in a comedic fashion.
Zombies.
Yeah. Or okay. Maybe time travel?
Time travel to where?
Well,
where are we gonna try time travel to?
Well, we wanna make it interesting, but maybe still keep it possibly dark. We could always go to like Vietnam.
Okay. This isn't quite ridiculous. We're going to say boxes level.
No, it's not a cardboard box level, but we could also go out of the box and make something up entirely.
You mean like Martian spiders?
How'd you know what I was thinking? Because that's the DLC that's apparently getting coming.
This game doesn't even surprise me anymore.
Zombies, Martian spiders, and a time-traveling trip to Vietnam. Now, anyone watching the video would have saw that about 10 minutes ago, but that's so weird.
I mean, you have this serious... You have a religious cult that takes over a town. You're a resistance group of whoever. Three people and a dog, apparently.
Yeah.
That maybe a bear, because I've seen bears in trailers, too.
Yeah.
But you have... This resistance group that goes and try to take back this town from this religious cult. That in its own right sounds like it could be a serious, you know, like I said, possibly dark storyline. So
absolutely.
I suppose an off-the-wall thing would be necessary or could be, you know, wanted. But it's also Far Cry, and some of their storylines are off the wall. Like you threw a rubber band ball at it and it just bounced everywhere.
And you had like on every spot it hit some sort of story on the wall and you just combined all the spots that it hit into one big story.
And then boom. There you go.
Exactly what it sounds like. Okay, well, that's interesting. Now, I think, well, we have one more technically Polygon article, but it's actually just a picture, and we're going to look at the picture. I was going to give a shout-out to our reporter, Michael, what was his name? Michael McWhorter. He was the first two articles, and I thought he'd be the third. He's not the third. So I was just going to be like, also, we only have one reporter, but we like to come off as we have multiple ones. But Michael McWhorter, the champion here of reporting. No, this was Charlie Hall. Charlie Hall in the DLC sector, not the breaking news sector, of Frantic Talks News. That's not a thing. No, that's not even a thing. I'm like literally taking credit for what Polygon did. So let's go over
ethics in game.
Yeah, ethics in game. Speaking of Kotaku, let's go over to.
That's right. Go ahead.
All right, so I know how to preface this, and I got to think of it the right way. So, Grunt, let me ask you something.
Yes. I like pie. Pie is great.
If there was any game that you wish we could just redo from the get-go, knowing how it ended up where it's at now, what game would that be in recent memory?
Recent memory. Let me see. I would have to go back to 2014.
Okay, so about 4 years ago. Well,
4 years
ago. It was at
the
end of 2014, if it's the game I'm thinking of. So about 3.5 years. Okay.
It might be. It has a really cool guy in it. He doesn't afraid of anything.
Okay.
I would have to say it'd probably be Master Chief Collection.
You know, I might be in the same boat.
Right?
Apparently.
So I mean, 343. I still couldn't play it last time I tried to play it just a few months ago.
Yeah, I'm not... So the headline here is 343, back in October, announced that they were going to have like a dedicated team to improving the MCC. 2 years, 3 years after it came out. So... while that's hilarious in and of its own right, we were all like, you guys are a little late to the party here.
Hey, now, you know who else was late to the party?
Which made me think that they took a note out of Stephen Totilo's book of identifying problems.
Oh, man. It's like this is going full circle.
Time is a flat circle. We're just back onto Totilo, that stupid son of a bitch. They must have hired him as a consultant to tell them their problems. Like, oh, you know, you could probably fix this game. Yeah, we probably could have fixed it 3 fucking years ago when we actually made it. So they go over, and I'm not going to read this article because they go over kind of like what they're changing to make it sound more interesting, I guess. Like they mentioned about how they're dropping DLLs and all kinds of weird shit to so you don't lose your session because that's the problem. I don't know why they decided to tell us that. Maybe they were just like hoping other developers were reading this and were making a game and are like, oh, I should probably do that. I don't know why that was decided.
They're trying to impress us with fancy words.
Or they're trying to pad the word count.
I need one more word to fit in this so I can meet my word requirement. DLL. It's not a word.
So they're trying
to make it one.
They're enhancing it for the Xbox One X, so we can get a more, well, even more impressive game. Although I don't know if I would use that term because it hasn't been impressive yet. I don't know. I don't know.
I can play a 17-year-old version of Halo. Holy cow, Halo is old enough to play itself now. It meets a mature ESRB rating.
It's not there yet. Came out
no, not yet.
Late 2001.
Has by another
in terms of just ago, looking at probably. The years, yes,
right. I mean, I'm just gonna say this, it's about time. I'm glad they are refocusing on it because those are some really good games in that collection.
Absolutely, that was the whole reason I got an Xbox in the first place because I wanted to play them all on the Xbox One. Like, oh, I can jump back on all the games, hell yeah.
Right, and, you know, I was excited to get to actually try Halo 2 online. Still, I'd have to try that, actually.
Yeah, exactly. 3 years later, you still haven't gotten to play it, even though you were promised you'd be able to. It's ridiculous that it took this long. in my opinion. What's more ridiculous is the fact that this got released for the price tag it got released at and never got fixed. I think that's the most unacceptable piece of all this.
I mean, in the long run, you know, we got a bunch of free stuff from it. You know, they gave us the ODST campaign if we had played it like within the first so many months of the game's release.
It was bullshit because I got it after that point and it still didn't work, so I should have gotten the ODST, but whatever.
I mean, it still doesn't work at Southside.
That's what I'm saying. It still doesn't work yet. They were like, oh, if you showed up in the very beginning when it really didn't work, here's something free. Hey, guys, it still doesn't work. Oh. We'll get back to you in 3 years. It's basically what happened.
Right. I just wonder if that means they're going to put out the Halo Reach anniversary here soon.
Well, that's true, but they didn't do a Halo 3 anniversary, so I feel like they've learned that cashing in on the nostalgia very poorly does not work as good as they thought it. Like, they literally just handed out and hoped people gave them $60 bills, and that was it. And then 3 years later, they're like, oh, we should probably fix this. Yeah, you know, probably still looks bad that it doesn't work. Yeah.
There's that one person that still plays our game.
And he's very vocal. We get 16 tweets a day from him. We need to fix this, David. I don't even know who David is, but that's who I put in my mind. Like, get on it. Well, that's hopefully changing. It's hopefully going to work now. Whatever.
I hope so. I still want to play Halo 2 online.
But maybe it'll look
until they drop the DLL.
Until they drop the DLL. This is their words, not ours, guys.
We're not, I don't even know what DLL is.
I actually do know what a DLL is, and it's a Windows compiled package that is how you run, you know, your C# and C dot. Well, I don't know if they're C++ and if that exactly is what it is. But I dealt with DLLs when I was doing web programming in .NET, which is C#, a Microsoft language. I know what they are. It's just...
Wait.
Why do they need to drop that? Why do they need to tell us that? I don't know.
Like I said, it's all word count. Well, you said that technically.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be.
Are they just really hoping that the people that are playing the game right now are people that, you know, have a basic understanding at least of game development, so like we're gonna fix the DLL and hope that the dot matrix registry, you know, functions properly now. I'm just throwing out words here, man.
No, I know, and that's what makes it even better. It's just like, oh, we're gonna fix the prions and not cross the streams and packets.
If Ghostbusters ever taught us anything, you do not cross the streams.
And we're going to ping the IP address and...
Murray knows things.
Like, it's like you just wrote half a script for a CSI episode involving computers right there. Easily.
Oh, man, I'm really sad I don't have a pair of sunglasses laying around here.
I'm going to trace the IP address by pinging it. Well, you need the IP address first, but all right, go for it. Try that. See how that works for you. Have fun with that.
You could say...
We're going to stop talking about this. Let's talk about another... Oh, no. We're going to talk about something entirely different now because I'm done with this. We're going to talk about another game that is seemingly wrestling some jimmies and is seeming to potentially still wrestle said jimmies. That is Destiny 2. It always will. It's always going to, and it never will stop. But they announced their update schedule through May, and there are 4 major things to focus on, and we'll pull up this picture here so you can actually see it. So their development roadmap, let me make sure it actually looks good on screen. Oh, look at that perfect framing. Man, I am good at this.
It's almost like you had it planned.
I did. All right, so, actually, there's only 3 left updates because the other one happened, but they deployed a...
Which? Where are we at right now?
We are waiting on 1.1.3 within Season 2, which comes out February 27th. The previous one was a Masterworks update. This got deployed... Very recently, I don't remember what date it was. I know it's very new because I got some of the I got a weapon masterwork or something.
30th, just this past Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah, so they just applied this. They've done some stuff there. I'm not going to read through all these details. I'll give you some like highlights, like a raid reward improvements, armor masterworks, challenges and quick play along the lines of what's going on there. Excuse me. The next
update. Core no longer constantly has something for you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, wait, what? I had to process what you just said. And then 1.1.3 will be coming out February 27th, and that is Nightfall scoring and high score tracking, emblem stuff. There's some fire team members on Destination Map. That's interesting. Nightfall Strike unique rewards, which has an asterisk next to it. Actually, these features are stretch goals that have a chance to slip to a later release. So some things might not make it. It looks like that's like one of the only ones. Oh, exotic weapon armor sandbox changes, and then mod system improvements. Those are the only other ones that might get delayed. And then March 27th, literally a month later, we get Iron Banner 6v6, heroic strike mods, weapon abilities, sandbox changes, crucible ammo and gameplay tuning, Nightfall challenge, some other stuff. And then we get into Season 3 in May, no specific date in May, just May, a new season of content, 1.2. Eater World's Prestige mode, seasonal crucible rankings, private matches, vault space increase, multi-emote. Exotic Masterworks, among other details. So
it's also important to note one thing they did forget to include on the Season 3, the 1.2 update for May, is that will also include the new DLC release.
I had a feeling that's what it was. So I didn't want to jump to that conclusion.
Update will most likely launch coinciding with the new expansion. Mm-hmm. So, because that's usually when they do it. It's like the full-fledged number 1.2.0 comes out with new expansions.
Yeah. So the reason we talk about this is not only because, you know, we still play a lot of Destiny, and that's kind of like what we've talked about the most on this podcast next to Halo. But I also bring it up because a lot of the things I'm seeing in here are things that were in Destiny 1 and just somehow didn't get transitioned into Destiny 2. And that's been the biggest complaint around the game. That's why it's so polarizing outside of just being the game that it is. And that's, you know, private matches, it takes them almost near a year to put into the game. What's up with that? You know, I know we drop down to 4v4, but, you know, Iron Banner 6v6 is coming. And there's a bunch of other random little fixes in here, like adding scoring and modifiers and stuff. It's like, how do we... And this is the biggest complaint of and criticism of the game is how did we drop the ball in the transition of going into Destiny 2 and not keeping so many of the great things that were in Destiny 1 by the end of it? And I'll be fair and say I kind of agree with those questions. I don't understand how it happened, and I can't think of a good defense against it. I don't know about you, Grunt.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of it is the fact that people want everything all at once. I saw this happen with Destiny 1 when they let exotics, parts of exotic quests be, you know, triggered or tied to like weekly resets and that stuff. So you did one part, then you had to wait the following week. That wasn't good enough. People wanted it when they finished it.
Right.
Now, this does bring up the question that basically, you know, how could you have a feature in one game and not have it in another? That's basically what this boils down to. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they developed the game. You know, maybe they... Destiny 2, I'm sure at its core, is drastically different from Destiny 1. Now, I'm not talking about how the game controls. I'm talking like, you know, the very first line of code is totally polar opposite of what it might be from Destiny 2, Destiny 1, whatever.
Oh, it comes very before possible. 2.
So, it could have been that maybe they didn't have the time to put this stuff in before they had to meet their release deadline. And they weren't maybe too comfortable with saying, here's private matches. Oh, by the way, they might have some problems with them. So, like, okay, we'll wait, we'll see what happens, and, you know, we'll bring them later when we've had time to maybe tweak some things to make sure we don't break Nightfalls by putting in private matches and make one crowd, one fan base really happy, and then one really, really bad because they don't do their Nightfall. But mm-hmm. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm sure the reason these were not in the game is probably for a specific reason. What that is, I have no idea. but there was a reason they were not included in the game, more than just like, well, we need to cut this idea, we need to cut this idea. People don't want private matches, do they? Nah, so we'll put more emblems in. I'm sure that's the case.
So
it almost has to be technical in my mind as to why they are getting custom matches added now. And other things.
I have no doubt it was technical.
A lot of other changes too are just, like quality of life.
Oh yeah.
Bugs that get brought up when you fix something else. So like with the Ikora thing that was just fixed recently, was a bug brought in by something else. Well, that just got fixed. So, a lot of it is based on feedback, and it maybe never was there in Destiny 1.
Right. And so two things came up while you were talking in my mind that I wanted to hit on. So the first one is, I think what ended up happening is it's definitely a technical thing where implementing something like private matches, for example, was a high feat to accomplish in Destiny 1, and Destiny 2 was far along in the lines, and it was hard to get it in there. While a lot of people think it was just a fact of no one communicated to them that, hey, these features are here, try to get them in there and work with you on that, it could very well have been just it was too much to try and fit in, and we had to focus elsewhere. So what ended up happening is in Destiny 1, they set the bar really high based on, here's all this really cool stuff, that is what you guys wanted. We get your private matches, we got weapon resets constantly, we got all this really cool stuff that makes the game arguably what it could have been at the very beginning. It just took 3 years, and now it's here. And then Destiny 2 rolls around, and they had to take a step back.
Right. And that's something else that people, I don't want to say that they're ignoring, but they are seemingly to forget. All the stuff we had in Destiny 1 was at the end of it being out for almost 3 years, if not almost 4 years.
And that leads me into my next point, which is Destiny is this living, breathing entity of a game that is constantly changing. I mean, look at the screen right now. We have all kinds of crap coming in the next 5 months, or 4 months, sorry. So the question now comes to, what was the price we paid for what we got and what we're getting? And is that okay? So we bought $60 expecting a full-fledged game. I'm not going to argue whether it was or was not. Personally, I feel like it probably was. Whatever. Now we have to pay whatever it is for the season pass or that special extra version of it that we got to get all this extra stuff that's coming, that's like, rolling out here. We're getting more stuff that's arguably improving the game from what its base part was. But in order to do all these things, you have to pay extra to get the full-fledged game. That in and of itself is a lot of the things to unpack and discuss, which we don't unfortunately have time for. But that becomes a question of, is this okay in modern gaming? Obviously it is, but is it something we're okay moving forward having? You know, instead of buying a video game that you play for a month or two, we buy these lengthy projects of games and dedicate tons of time to them. Is it worth it in the end? Obviously it's subjective, but that's something kind of big to think about and wonder and ponder and kind of come to your own conclusion on, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing is, with Destiny specifically, they've done it similar in terms of updates to how they have done it in, or how they did it in Destiny 1. You have, and I'm sure the titles are probably actually different, what they're actually called, but they have content updates and they have the title updates. Mm-hmm. Your content updates, typically, those are when you get new expansions. Those add new things to the game. Those, usually, yes, you do have to pay for those.
Mm-hmm.
But for things like generic quality of life changes, like fixing, retuning that weapon, balancing this, making something maybe behave differently, maybe a reward system behave differently, those have always been free updates, so you're not paying for them. They've broken it down to where, important changes to the way the game functions, you never pay for.
Mm-hmm.
If you want fancy stuff, then maybe you need to pay for it by buying the newest expansion. I think you can still get the all of the new exotic weapons in that for Curse of Osiris without, say, for maybe a few that are tied to the story itself. But I think you can get those without actually having to have bought the expansion. So like a new exotic gun or exotic armor piece that came out, but it was tied to Curse of Osiris expansion, you don't need to have bought it. It's in the game for anyone to get. So with Destiny, they split it up. There's paid updates, but those add new things. It's like you're buying DLC.
Yeah, no. And then there's exactly the stuff that
improves. So,
right.
Yeah, most games, you want something new with the newest update, yeah, maybe you have to pay for the expansion.
Mm.
You know, so I think all games need to go towards something like that. You know, new stuff, that's paid. If you want just basic tuning stuff, you know, quality of life improvements, is it's been called, those, just put those out, you know.
Absolutely. That's how most games are. You know, you get your DLC, but then you also have your patches and your free updates that are simpler, nothing too crazy to be added to it. That's how a lot of them are. And maybe some people are forgetting that. Maybe some people are like completely blanking on the fact that it's paid DLC versus the straight game. But right. Then it boils down to what should come in the base game. What were we expecting for the $60 price tag we pay versus what we got? And again, subjective at that point. So I don't know. Maybe I jumped a little too far down the rabbit hole on that, but essentially I can see why it's polarizing to so many people, not just because of the game it is and how people just shit on the game for the gameplay or whatever, but for the actual content and everything that came with it and everything we're getting within less than a year of it coming out. It seems like while they definitely missed the mark on the bar that Destiny 1 set by the end of its days, they still are climbing back to it at an astronomically faster rate than Destiny 1 ever did.
Because they know. If you look at when we got private games in Destiny 2, that was, I think,
it was like 2.5 years.
That was after, I think, the Taken King era, which was, like you said, I think 2.5 years after the base game had released, and the game had already gone through drastic changes before then, even. So to get there just like
5-6 months
after release,
I think it's nine
months after release, you know, that's not at all bad in my mind.
No, not at all. Hopefully that so, the private matches themselves, as a side note, aren't a part of the paid update. Like, you can get those, because those feel like that'd be weird to have to pay for private matches, but
I don't care because I don't see why you would.
I was about to say, I don't actually care because I automatically get season 3 for free. I was just like, for the people that are shoestring budgets, you hope.
Right. But, so, yeah, if they keep it the same thing, I don't know how it works, you know, how they are doing with Destiny 2 specifically, but if they keep the way it worked with Destiny 1 and they have stuck similar to that now already with what they've done, new content, actual like new strikes, new story missions, that stuff you'll have to pay for. But big things like custom games, you know, that you probably won't. Those will probably just be added to the game.
Right.
For everyone, whether you pay it or not.
So that is the content development roadmap. Should be interesting to see all the stuff we get out of it, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I definitely haven't been craving Destiny the past couple of weeks like I used to crave Destiny 1. So I don't know if that's a symptom of me or the game. But it's always nice to get a breath of new life into it. That'll always get me to come back.
Okay.
So, with that being said, I think that about does, unless you have anything to add to that, Grunt.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I pretty much covered my thoughts.
Okay, well, let us know what you guys think, especially about that and, of course, all the other articles. Not much to add about the Sony guys stepping down, but if you have thoughts on that, maybe you're big on PlayStation stuff, let us know. Far Cry 5. Crazy weird DLC. Red Dead 2 getting delayed, unfortunate. MCC finally getting that correction it so much deserves. And of course, the update to Destiny, or the update roadmap, along with the stuff that's already come out. Let us know what you guys think about all that as well. And you can do that by hitting us up on Twitter. I'm at FrannyJ3. He is at OnyxSpartan, ONYX Spartan, all one word, and we are at Frannic_talks. Follow us for all kinds of updates on whether it be the podcast, articles, and the like. Also, head over to Facebook.com/FrannicTalks. Throw that like, hit that like button. Basically, same idea as Twitter, but in more Facebook form. Twitch.tv/FrannicTalks, all one word. You can join us live every Saturday, usually at 3 p.m. Eastern, usually. Sometimes life gets in the way. You never know. Join on the conversation. Get a shout out. Let us know if we missed something, got a fact wrong, or just, you know, add your own commentary to it. Doesn't matter to us. FrannicTalks.com, lastly, you can get all that stuff I just mentioned in the footer, along with links to Xbox, DVR, our Discord channel, where you can join in and have chat about Magic or whatever, or gaming, of course. And also Magic.FrannicTalks.com, where you can get all of our Magic articles. That about does it. But hey, if you guys are having trouble finding us, can't seem to figure out where we're at, it's not working, 110 times out of 10, Grunt, what can they do?
Direct themselves to your search engine and just search FrannicTalks. You'll find us. Or your glimmer back.
Absolutely. So I think that about does it for us, guys. Like I said, let us know what you think about the articles. And on that note, I don't have anything else to add. Grunt?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. Like I said, guys, throw us a like and all that fun stuff. Let us know what you think. I'm Frannic.
I'm Grunt.
We'll see you guys next time.
Scribe wave.